Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Before the church as we know it was established, our Lord warned that there would be two kinds of professing Christians. There would be those whom we call nominal Christians, that is, Christians in name only. They are counterfeit, they are imposters, they are fakes. While on the other hand, there are those who truly are believers and those who are resting and trusting in Christ alone for salvation. Jesus said that you can deceive yourself into thinking you are something when in fact you are not. He warned in chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, that it is possible for you to be deceived by preachers and teachers and religious leaders. But there is even a sadder deception than even being deceived by someone, and it is deceiving yourself. So Jesus warns that you can deceive yourself, and there are two great dangers that you and I must avoid if we would be sure that we're not just deceiving ourselves by telling ourselves, yes, we are Christians. The first great danger is this, the danger of making just a verbal profession of faith. That is what we considered last Lord's Day. We said that it has at least two different aspects to it. That is, there are those Christians who think that because they are able to articulate accurate doctrine or orthodox Christianity or be able to say they are Christians and join the church and use Christian terminology that they are really in fact Christians. While on the other hand, there are also those who are actively dedicated in serving the church. They are very busy people. There's always a cloud of dust behind their feet. They are seemingly serving God and serving Christ, but they are deceiving themselves in their service, Jesus said. But now we want to have a look at another great danger, and it is this, the danger of just an intellectual knowledge of Christ and Christianity. That is similar to what we considered last Lord's Day. But last Lord's Day, where Jesus was talking in verses 21 through 23 about the difference between those people who say they are something and those who actually do it, here he is talking about those people who hear and those people who actually do what they say. And he uses the parable of the foolish man and the wise man in each building a house as an illustration of what he is saying. There was a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the flood arose, and the house on the sand went, as we say in the song, smash. But then there was a wise man. And this wise man built his house upon a rock. And the rains came and the floods arose against that house. And the house on the rock stood firm because it was built upon a rock. That is Jesus' illustration. Now here we see first the similarity in the houses, or the similarity between the two kinds of Christians. The similarity in the houses is this. They simply looked alike. I am told that because New York City is a great seaport, as well as Venice being a great seaport, that there are certain similarities in these two great ports. And yet there is one very, very remarkable difference in these cities. New York City is built firmly upon the ground, whereas Venice is slowly sinking into the sea. In fact, the first floor of some of the buildings in Venice is already covered with water. Slowly sinking. The buildings, seemingly, that is, the two houses that Jesus is talking about, looked alike. So also there are Christians, who claim to be Christians who look alike. I mean, we live in the same kind of houses, generally. We dress similarly. We talk generally the same. We come to the same church, and we listen to the same sermon. But there is a very, very remarkable difference, very great remarkable difference between these two. One Christian, one person is indeed a Christian, while the other is simply professing to be one. He is deceiving himself. There's only one way, Jesus says here, that you can tell the difference between a true Christian and an imposter. He says in verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and burst against that house." Jesus says that the only difference, the only way you can tell the difference between a true Christian and a fake is through a storm that happens in his life. A storm is a trial or a temptation, or when you may be facing death, or ultimately the judgment that you must face in your life. The storm is a way to tell the difference as to whether you are really trusting in God or whether you are a Christian in name only. I have people come to me and tell me, "Pastor, my marriage has made me a different person from the one I started out as being. I used to be so sweet and nice and kind, but now I just fly off the handle and I get mean and I do and I say cruel things to my husband." You see, the storm of marriage, I'm able to tell them, does not make you into something that you were not already. It simply causes to rise to the surface that which was there all along. It just took a storm to bring it out. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian if you fly off the handle now and then. At least I trust not. But storms have that benefit of revealing to you and showing you what you really are. For example, the storm showed what kind of house each man was building, whether his house, his life was upon a rock or his life was upon the sand. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that one day your house of your life is going to be tested. He says in verse 12 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, "Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it." That is the day of judgment. "Because it is revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." Now, this raises a significant and important question. I mean, what this passage is bringing forth. And the question is this: is Jesus then, and does the Bible teach, that salvation is by works. That's what it sounds like here. I mean, in verse 21, the last part, look at the whole verse. Now everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. It sounds like not a person who says it, but a person who does it, and therefore salvation is by works. But also in this very passage, in verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, every man who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, it sounds as if salvation is by works. What you do. Is Jesus teaching that salvation is by works? If he is, then it contradicts everything else that he said. If he is, then it contradicts the teaching of Genesis through Revelation. We can say confidently, no, Jesus is not teaching a salvation by works, but salvation is by grace through faith. What Jesus is saying here is that those who really believe will express their faith by their works. Ben Hayden is right in calling his radio and television ministry changed lives. Why? Because a man who comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ must have his life affected if he is indeed a true believer. And if you can come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and not be changed, then that is the greatest evidence of all that perhaps you need to look at the foundation of your life. James says in chapter 1 of his book in verse 22, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And again, James 2, faith without works is dead. That's what Jesus is talking about. What he is talking about is not the ground of your salvation, because the ground of your salvation is faith by the grace of God. He is talking about the evidence of your salvation. That if indeed you're standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ and you're trusting in him as your Savior, then your life is going to be changed. When you hear a sermon, you will not just be thinking, what a fine message that is. You will not, as you leave the sanctuary, simply be analyzing certain points of the message. That reminds me of a lady who came out. You get a lot of different comments about sermons. I wish I had started writing them down when I first started preaching. It's sort of like, you know, you wish you had written everything down that your children said that was humorous. One lady told a pastor one time, she said, Pastor, each sermon you preach is better than the next. Which is sort of a way, you know, your preaching is slowly getting worse and worse. I had one of my elders away from my congregation in Birmingham one Sunday, and one of the church members told this particular elder, boy, you should have been here Sunday. Langston really, really put the word on us. He really preached a sermon. To which his elder replied, shoot, I miss all the good ones. And he was only gone about 2 Sundays out of the year. What Jesus says here is this. It is possible to listen to sermons and be preoccupied with the structure and with points and with the preacher himself and not be changed by the message. And if you are not changed, then there's no point in coming. You see, that is what he said. That the message, however good or however bad, it should make you a different person. And when you leave this church, should be thinking how I can be a new person as a result of having been here and met with God today. Jesus said, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You can hear with your ears, seemingly, but friends, are you listening to the word of God in your heart? Then there is a difference in the houses. We said that there was a similarity, and the similarity in the houses is that they looked alike. That is, Christians within a church seem to be alike. Young people dress alike, older folks dress alike. We go to the same movies, and we listen to the same sermons, but there is something remarkably different. What is it? Jesus tells us what that is in verse 25 and verse 24. He says, the wise man built his house upon a rock, and then in verse 26, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. What is the difference between people who claim that they are Christians and who are not, and those who are really Christians? The difference is the foundation upon which they are building their lives. That is the difference, Jesus said. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The sand in here suggests those who hear but do not put into practice. That is, those who have merely an intellectual, academic knowledge of God. I have studied under men in my some 12 years of higher education who could tell you detail after detail and analyze academically the teaching of the Old Testament to so much so that it would impress you so much, but these men are lost, lost. It doesn't matter how much you know, so much as whether or not you have heard with your spiritual ears. Jesus teaches, what are some symptoms of foolish life building? How can you begin to ask yourself, am I building my life upon the sand? Am I being like the foolish man? Let me suggest one way, a symptom that you may be building your life upon sand. It is this, if you're simply living on your activities. I mean, if you depend upon church to keep you going in the Christian faith. If you depend upon meetings and depend upon your activities and the work that you're doing for God to keep you within the faith. A second one is this. A symptom of foolish life building is the practice of putting one thing against the other. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if God has convicted you in your conscience of one particular sin that exists in your life, say you have the sin of gossip, and you know that you talk about people, but what you do instead of change is that you explain it away by saying, but I do a lot of good too. Putting one bad thing against a good thing. A symptom of building upon a sand. There's another one, the failure to realize that the one thing that really matters in your Christian life, listen, is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know there are so many ways that you can get sidetracked even within the Christian faith? A lot of people who have become involved in the charismatic movement, who have become interested in speaking in tongues and miracles and healings and all that kind of style of Christianity, are getting sidetracked from the one thing that's important. But you can also get sidetracked by being preoccupied with what is called apologetics, defending the faith. Always figuring out a way intellectually to defend this particular position against that position. So much so that you forget that the most important thing is your own nurturing of your soul and your relationship with Christ. You can get sidetracked by reading the book of Revelation, always thinking about what's going to happen at the end time, reading books about the late great planet Earth and what's going to take place when Jesus comes back, instead of being more concerned about the development of your own soul and your relationship with Christ. That is the most important thing. You can get sidetracked, and a symptom of foolish life building is the failure to realize that what God wants is not just something that you can do for Him. What God wants is your heart. He wants you to surrender your will to Him. Have you done that? But then there was the wise man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. I was reminded while thinking about this of the poem by Percy Shelley, Ozymandias. Do you remember it? Ozymandias was a mythical Persian conqueror who went down to Egypt and he conquered the whole world, and then he built this monument to himself. And the monument supposedly at the time overlooked the empire that the Persian Ozymandias had conquered. And the monument said, "Look on my works, ye mighty, and fear." And Percy has the writer and the listener looking up, and there was nothing left but thousands and thousands of miles of sand. Then Jesus said there was a wise man, and this wise man built his life, his house, upon a rock. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, we read these words, "No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You see, there is no other foundation than a rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, today, you and I, we are either building our lives upon the sand or building our lives upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no two alternatives, no other alternatives. Either you are upon the rock or you are upon sinking sand, gradually becoming immersed. If you will listen, and if you will hear, and if you will act by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and by committing and surrendering your will to Him, you will begin to build your life upon a rock. It could be to this day you have not yet started building upon that rock. And I want to ask you, upon what are you building your life? It's one or the other. Either it is upon sand. It is upon your reputation and your importance and your wealth and your work or your family or your intellect or your good looks. Or else it is upon Jesus Christ. Those are the only two alternatives. What about you? Joseph Parker was a great English preacher. He preached at the City Temple in London for many, many years. Joseph Parker started out as a Bible believer and a Bible-believing preacher. But then he became interested in the more intellectual pursuits, in the more critical and liberal pursuits, and he began to frequent the society of different studies that doubted the truth of the Word of God. But then one day, Joseph Parker's wife became sick, and in a few short hours, she had died. And then Joseph Parker said that he paced up and down the emptiness of his house, looking for some sure footing upon which to land. And then he said this, "In those hours of darkness, in those hours of my soul's anguish, when filled with doubt and trembling and fear, I bethought myself of the old gospel of redemption, alone through the blood of Christ, the gospel that I had preached in those earlier days, and I put my foot down on that, and that, my brethren, then I found firm standing." I want to ask you this morning, upon what have you put your foot? That is the way Jesus closes the Sermon on the Mount, and that is the way that we close this series on the Sermon on the Mount. You are building your life right now today. It is either upon the rock of Jesus Christ, or it is upon sinking sand. Upon what are you building your life? I realize that there may be some of you who are not Christians, and you have never really trusted in Christ, and you don't know how. I want to tell you, you can pray and ask God to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to make you a new person. Repent of your sin and embrace Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? Then you can stand upon the old gospel of redemption through the blood of Christ who died to save you. That's your only hope. That's your only rock. Those of you who are really Christians and those of you who may think you are, if you suspect that you're not, then will you yield your will to God right now? And say, "Lord, I know there are things in my life that are wrong. I know that I am not following you the way I should, and I want to yield my life to you." Will you do that, Christian? I'm going to pray a prayer for the non-Christian. And if you're not a Christian, and you want to be sure that you're standing upon the rock, then you can repeat this prayer quietly, silently, after me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to come into my heart and make me a new person. Let me know that I stand upon the rock, that my life is not being built upon sand. Thank you for hearing my prayer and for coming into my life, not because I am good, but because Jesus died for me. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do indeed pray that there may be each and every soul here standing upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and not building his life upon sand. Help him to see it today, Father. Help him to see it tonight. Show to that person the folly of their lives that they may build it upon Christ, the solid rock. For we ask it in Jesus' name, to whom be glory forever, because he is our redemption. Amen.